Ukraine says it has recorded active Russian satellite surveillance of U.S. military sites in the Gulf since early July. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan, and this show is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. Today's date is July 26, 2026. That satellite surveillance claim is the sharp end of a story that now threads Kyiv, Moscow, Tehran, and Washington together, and it matters for who can strike whom and how the rest of the world pays for it. Brazil refused visas to two U.S. State Department officials who were reportedly planning meetings in Brasilia tied to election integrity ahead of the October presidential runoff. Brasilia says the visit risked undermining confidence, while the State Department called that suggestion a baseless lie. This is about more than an embassy quarrel. It's a diplomatic signal ahead of a high-stakes rematch between Lula and a Bolsonaro-aligned challenger, and it risks hardening domestic narratives on both sides. Watch this, because foreign engagement around elections is now a flashpoint in the Americas. A van drove into the finale of Berlin's Christopher Street Day near the Brandenburg Gate, killing one person and injuring at least 16 more. Police named a 21-year-old suspect and say the vehicle stopped after hitting a tree in Tiergarten. Christopher Street Day is one of Europe's largest pride events, and the city canceled the rest of the celebrations while investigators search for motive and co-conspirators. This matters for public safety planning at mass events, and for how societies respond without turning a single attacker into a broader political cudgel.
According to a Senate Joint Economic Committee minority analysis, Americans have paid an estimated $56.4 billion more for gasoline since the Iran war began on February 28th. About $477 extra per household, at a national average near $3.87 per gallon through July 12th. That's the kind of number that lands in voters' wallets and shows up on campaign trail talking points. Expect energy costs to keep nudging political pressure on Washington's Iran policy choices. What changed this week is less a single headline and more a knot tightening across three theaters. Kyiv's public attribution of Russian satellite surveillance to Iranian attacks in the Gulf, a Ukrainian strike Tehran says killed a sailor in the Caspian Sea, and a U.S. decision to delay a major strike package on Iran because the Pentagon warned of interceptor shortages. Put them side by side, and a picture emerges. Intelligence sharing, long-range strikes, and logistics constraints are now the levers that could either contain or widen conflict. Let's unpack that in concrete terms. Start with the claim. President Volodymyr Zelensky publicly accused Russia of handing satellite imagery of U.S. military sites in the Gulf to Iran, saying there was a clear correlation between the satellite coverage and Iranian strikes, both in preparation and after the attacks to assess damage. Kyiv singled out July 19 to 20 when four airbases, two in Bahrain, one in Jordan, and one in Kuwait, fell within the surveillance area. Zelensky said Ukrainian intelligence would share what it has with partners. That's a bold public step from Kyiv. It's offering to put its own sources on the table as evidence, which raises the political stakes for three reasons.
One, if Ukraine can provide usable, time-stamped imagery that links Russian satellite passes to Iranian targeting, that would be one of the clearest pieces of public documentation that Moscow is materially aiding Tehran's strike capability. Two, sharing that intelligence would force other nations, the U.S., Gulf states, and commercial satellite firms, to respond, either by confirming, contradicting, or refusing to authenticate the material. And three, even the allegation alone pushes the West to treat the Gulf strikes through the same lens as assistance to Kyiv. This is no longer separate. It's an interconnected intelligence problem. Now, the evidence question. Commercial satellite imagery is widely available, but legally and politically complex. Several commercial providers have limited coverage at U.S. request in recent months, and imagery can come from Russian military satellites, commercial vendors, or open-source observers. That means context matters. Who took the pictures? What timestamps do they show? And what metadata survives the chain of custody? Kyiv's offer to share intelligence is an invitation to let international partners verify chain of custody. On Reddit's World News threads, people split between show the receipts skepticism and alarm at the prospect of Russia actively enabling strikes on U.S. positions, a useful microcosm of the diplomatic dilemma here.
Second, we have a direct kinetic incident that extends the geography of the conflict. Iran said a Ukrainian strike in the Caspian Sea hit an Iranian commercial vessel, killing one sailor and wounding another. Kyiv, for its part, said it carried out long-range strikes in the Caspian against vessels used for military cargo shipments involving Iran and possibly a warship. The Caspian Sea is a Russia-dominated inland body of water. It's not the open Atlantic or the Red Sea. Striking there raises sharp questions about escalation thresholds and who is a legitimate target. Why would Ukraine strike in the Caspian? Ukraine has been rapidly expanding its long-range strike capability, with Western-provided and domestically adapted systems hitting logistics chains far beyond the front lines. Kyiv officials say some vessels have been ferrying military components to support Russia or Iran. If true, those ships become military targets in Ukraine's logic. For Tehran, however, any strike on what it calls commercial shipping is framed domestically as an attack on Iranian sovereignty and civilians. Tehran's public response, summoning Ukraine's chargé d'affaires and calling the strike hostile and criminal, is designed to raise the diplomatic temperature and solicit regional sympathy. Third, and crucial for U.S. decision-making, is the Pentagon's warning about interceptor shortages. Senior military advisors urge President Trump to pause a larger strike package against Iran because repeated missile and drone barrages have consumed enormous quantities of Patriot interceptors. U.S. estimates put more than 1,200 interceptors fired by late April at roughly $4 million apiece. The Pentagon's message was blunt. A larger operation risks leaving Central Command dangerously short of air defense munitions, which would expose bases, allied forces, and shipping to greater risk.
That logistics reality matters in two linked ways. Militarily, it constrains the United States' freedom of action. You can have powerful strike plans on the White House wall, but if the stockpile of defensive interceptors is thin, commanders will warn that an expanded campaign increases casualty and hardware risk. Politically, the pause signals to Tehran and to third parties that the U.S. sees a meaningful trade-off between offense and defense, and it opens a sliver for diplomacy or calibrated responses short of all-out strikes. On Reddit, the reaction was predictably split. Some calls for aggressive action, others for prudence because of the strategic risk to forward bases, again reflecting the real public trade-offs. Put together, the three threads suggest cascading vulnerabilities. If Russia is indeed supplying intelligence directly to Iran, it converts the Gulf into a theater where Moscow's support to Tehran is operational, not just rhetorical. That raises the chance that Iran's strikes are more accurate and better timed. Accurate strikes reduce the number of interceptors Tehran needs to wear down U.S. defenses, which accelerates the depletion problem the Pentagon warned about. At that point, the U.S. faces a hard choice: strike widely and risk depleting defenses, or tighten the rules of engagement and accept a higher level of harassment on bases and merchant shipping.
There are important caveats and uncertainty to underline. First, Zelensky's allegation is, at this stage, an allegation, albeit a public and consequential one. Kyiv said it would share intelligence with partners. We have not seen a publicly released packet of imagery with fully verified metadata that neutral third parties have authenticated. Second, the Caspian strike is contested. Iran calls the ship commercial. Ukraine says it was carrying military cargo. The fog of war around logistics and the chain of custody of maritime cargo remains thick. Third, the Pentagon figures on interceptor usage are the kind of point estimates that can change with after-action assessments and accounting of allied inventories. None of these threads is airtight on its own. Their weight is in combination. So what should we watch next, week by week? First, whether Kyiv actually provides time-stamped satellite imagery with unambiguous metadata that independent partners can verify. That would be the clearest step toward making the Russian to Iran assistance allegation hard to dismiss. Second, U.S. and allied stockpile and procurement signals. If Congress approves emergency funding to replenish interceptors or producers ramp up cheaper alternatives, that changes Washington's calculus about whether to accept a prolonged harassment campaign or launch a wider strike. Third, Iran's response calculus. Will Tehran treat a verified link between Russia and its targeting as justification for more aggressive operations, or will it seek to keep the conflict asymmetric and deniable to avoid inviting direct great power confrontation?
There are also diplomatic levers at work. Kyiv's willingness to publicly attribute and to share intelligence is a pressure tactic on Moscow aimed at widening isolation or increasing the political cost of helping Iran. For Moscow, however, the calculus may be asymmetric. Limited assistance to Tehran could yield power projection and destabilize U.S. posture in the Gulf without triggering direct NATO involvement. That asymmetry is why the U.S. has been careful to demand evidence before escalating and why Washington is simultaneously using sanctions, naval escorts, and defensive strikes to manage risk. An overlooked piece of this puzzle is the role of commercial imagery and norms around its use. Several commercial providers have curtailed coverage over sensitive regions after U.S. requests. If governments begin treating high-resolution imagery as a strategic commodity, with licensing, takedown requests, or export controls, that will reshape how militaries and proxies plan operations. For consumers and journalists, that means less open-source verification unless a trusted third-party verification mechanism emerges. Finally, think about the broader contagion risk. We're no longer watching two isolated conflicts. The Ukraine war and the Middle East confrontation are starting to intersect in logistics, intelligence, and diplomacy. That intersection raises a political problem for countries that want to avoid being dragged in. They may have to take public positions on murky evidence or accept a degree of risk to their forces and commerce. That's why Kyiv's offer to share intelligence matters and forces choices on allies who otherwise prefer plausible deniability.
Reddit reactions across the involved threads are worth a quick note because they flag the public mood. In the World News subreddit and the Geopolitics subreddit, many users demanded hard evidence before assigning blame to Russia, while others warned that Russian support for Iran, if true, showed a dangerous alignment designed to tie U.S. hands. Some commenters highlighted an operational reality. Modern war increasingly depends on real-time imagery and commercial data feeds. Other threads emphasize the human cost, sailors killed, airmen exposed, rather than just the strategic dominoes. Those emotional currents are real political forces. They push leaders toward either restraint or retaliation. What do I think? Three practical takeaways. 1. Expect more public intelligence gestures from Kyiv. That's inexpensive political leverage, and it pressures Western capitals to respond. 2. The Pentagon's logistics constraints are an underappreciated break on hawkish policymaking. Military hardware inventories, not just political will shape the next steps. And 3, the more these conflicts interlock through shared suppliers, shared intelligence, and overlapping maritime routes, the higher the risk that a localized miscalculation becomes a regional conflagration. That's not inevitable, but it's a credible risk on the near-term horizon. Keep an eye on two simple indicators in the coming days: whether any imagery packet Kyiv promises is released with verifiable timestamps and metadata, and whether Congress or allied governments signal emergency funding to replenish interceptors. Those two moves together will say more about the trajectory of the crisis than any single speech or headline.
If KEIV can put verified satellite metadata on the table and the Pentagon's supply warnings are accurate, the next few weeks will tell us whether intelligence tools are deterring escalation or helping it spread. I'm Alex Morgan. This is Debug the Hype.